This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
During the summer months, our preaching theme is the kingdom of God is like ... Last week, David talked about the parable of the sower, that the kingdom of God is automatic. If you missed it, I recommend catching up on YouTube. This morning, we're going to be looking at Mark 4, verses 30 to 32, and how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The subtitle of my talk is Leaning into Hope, Faith, and Trusting God, which is something I'm definitely doing more of after studying this little short parable. And I hope it's something you will choose to do as well. Have you read The Lord of the Rings or seen the movies? I'm getting some nods and some thumbs. I love The Lord of the Rings trilogy. If you don't know these books or the films, then I recommend them to you. In these stories, we read about the adventures, wisdom, and bravery of a hobbit called Frodo Baggins and his friend Samwise Gamgee. Hobbits are small people the size of children with hairy feet. A little whoop there. They live in homes which have been burrowed out of the ground or hillside in a beautiful place called Hobbiton, where not much happens. In the story, hobbits are fairly insignificant and largely unknown throughout the wider world that they live in. Fun fact, did you know that J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, studied at the University of Leeds and lived in Headingley? Did anyone know that? Some did. Every day's a school day, eh? It was for me. I like to think that Tolkien got his inspiration for The Hobbits from watching somebody doing the Otley Run in a costume with hairy feet. We'll never know. Back to Frodo and Sam, our hobbits. Frodo and Sam are not the kind of people you might expect to change the world, but they do. Frodo and Sam set off on a quest, and along the way, many stronger, taller, experienced warriors join them. Yet these two hobbits are the ones who end up completing the most important part of the mission. As they overcome fear, take courage, and do what they see needs doing, often in hopeless situations and faced with powers and opposition far greater than them, they save the day. I just love how the smallest, least likely people are the heroes of this story. If I'm honest, some days I can feel a bit like Frodo or Sam. Willing to serve, to love God and others, but finding myself fearful, anxious, or lacking courage to participate in my own adventure following Jesus. Sometimes I look at my life, the way I behave, the thoughts I have, and it's all rather messy and not like Jesus at all. I worry about things Jesus tells me not to worry about. I'm fearful about the future in some areas of my life. I procrastinate over something difficult I need to do. I lack courage when I need it. I struggle and give in to temptations. I lack patience with those I love and those I don't. I say things I regret and want to take them back. I don't know about you, but the process of becoming more like Jesus seems rather slow in my life. Thankfully, God uses these failures and weaknesses of mine to bring me to a place where I'm more receptive to him, more able to be changed by him. He does the work of changing me as I daily submit to him, asking him to change me and obeying the nudges of the Holy Spirit. In our passage for today, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. This parable is one of the shortest, but we find it in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How many of you have ever seen or cooked with mustard seeds? Quite a few. Can I have my helpers? I bought these from a well-known supermarket. I've covered up the brand, not getting into advertising here. I was quite surprised to see how tiny they are. Rob and Sally are just going to take them up and down the aisles. They are absolutely tiny, like a millimetre-ish. If you're watching online, they're about a millimetre-ish. I didn't try one, I have to say. What are they like? Are they really mustardy? Oh, thank you. I've got an offer of a meal. The mustard plant referred to in this passage is generally considered to be black mustard, which is what we're showing you, a large annual plant which grows up to 9 feet, 2.7 meters tall. Here's a photo. It's pretty, isn't it? Yellow, very different from the tiny black seed it started out as. If you read the Gospels, the four biographies which tell of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, you'll discover that Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God a lot. He wanted those listening to him to grasp and understand what the kingdom of God is like. Why does he teach about this so much? If Jesus teaches about something a lot, it behoves us to pay attention and work hard to understand what he's saying. It's clearly really important. Let's read our passage for today. Mark 4, verses 30 to 32. Alicia is going to come and read it for us. If anyone's looked it up in the Pew Bibles, could you give us the number, the page number?
So Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." I'll just read that one more time. Again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and it becomes the largest of all the garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade.
Thanks, Alicia. In this parable, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God grows from tiny beginnings into something much larger than we might expect. I don't know about you, but I find these verses fill me with hope. I love that Jesus chose the smallest seed on earth to illustrate how his kingdom grows. This tiny black seed grows in a way that we might not expect on first appearance. Small beginnings, unexpected growth. When Jesus told this parable, he was talking to Jewish people. The Jews were hoping, praying, and waiting for their Messiah, their Savior, their King, to come and save them. The land of Palestine was occupied and ruled by the Romans, and many Jews expected their Messiah to be a military figure like King David, who would overthrow the Romans with military power. Other Jews were expecting a prophet like Moses. This is why Jesus needed to explain what the kingdom of God was like and is like. He needed to break down this context and the preconceptions that Jews had about their Messiah and the kingdom he would lead. He needed to break open their minds and hearts to a different understanding of what his kingdom is like. The kingdom Jesus was describing and telling stories about wasn't quite as straightforward as the Jews were hoping it would be. They struggled to understand him. Even the disciples wanted and expected Jesus to lead in the way they had in mind. Jesus wanted his followers to grasp that the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God on earth, would not arrive all in one go, but would be a slow, steady process, much of which would be happening imperceptibly. Hearing that the kingdom grows slowly can be quite hard to hear, I think. Whilst the kingdom does break through dramatically at times, when we see or hear about healings, miracles, or supernatural events, it's exciting, but it's not our everyday experience for most of us. This is why Jesus taught about the kingdom of God so much. It was in order to get across the message that the growth of the kingdom is generally slow and requires hope, faith, and trust. Whilst it can be dramatic, as Jesus himself showed when he healed people, cast out demons, or took charge of nature and other things, it is also more generally slow and involves a process. Our experience tells us this too. We know that tragedies happen. Horrible crimes and accidents devastate families and communities. There is famine, war, murder, slavery, and abuse. We can wonder, where is God? Why doesn't God do something? If we have chosen to follow Jesus, we know that the biggest but most dramatic act of all time is when Jesus died on the cross and was then resurrected from the dead. This one-time act of God's love and power changed the world forever. At times when we wonder, where is God? Why doesn't he do something? We need to remember that God has done something. In fact, God has already done everything necessary for us to live full, thriving lives as human beings. This was not just a historical event applicable to those who were with him at the time, but something that is as relevant and life-changing to us as it was to them. And just as we couldn't possibly expect the tiny mustard seed buried in the darkness of the ground, to all appearances dead to the world with no visible sign of hope or life, so it seemed when Jesus died and was buried in a tomb, shattering the hopes of his disciples and scattering them. And yet, as we know, this death, an apparent failure, was followed by something none of them foresaw or imagined. And yet, its impact was exponential and changed the history and fate of humanity. Jesus came as a suffering servant who would overcome sin and bring the kingdom of God to earth by his life, death, and resurrection. He made a way for us to become his sons and daughters and to join his mission to bring the kingdom of God to earth. When we long for the world to be different, we need to lean into hope, faith, and trust in God. We need to remind ourselves that he has already put the world right and has promised that we will see this fully realized. We need to remind ourselves that the working of God's kingdom and his purposes involves a process. And just as with Jesus' death and resurrection, perhaps it is beyond our ability to know fully what God is working in our lives and in the world. And we simply need to put our hope, faith, and trust in him and believe that he is working his purposes as we daily yield to him. As we do this, we can get busy with loving God and loving others and working to extend his kingdom, wherever he has placed us. We can be joy-filled as we remember what he did for us. When we heal people in the power of Jesus, when we preach or share the gospel, when we serve the poor, forgive those who hurt us, Extend mercy to those who don't deserve it. Fight for justice for the oppressed. Take care of the widows, the homeless, the addicted. These things and more are all an expression of the kingdom of God growing around us and through us. We can trust what Jesus says about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed growing into a beautiful plant. We can hope, have faith, and trust in God that our seemingly insignificant efforts will bear fruit, which is out of all proportion to the small seed sown. In the vineyard, we like to use the phrase the now and the not yet when we talk about the kingdom of God. It's a way to explain how the kingdom of God is here, breaking in, but also not yet breaking in. Our theology is that we live in the tension of the now and the not yet. We work to bring heaven to earth as much as we can, but we don't fully see heaven on earth in all its fullness yet. We will one day, though, we will. I find it such a relief that the kingdom of God in my life can't help but grow as I lean into hope, faith, and trust in God. Jesus tells us in this parable that it can't be otherwise. We will grow. It is automatic, as David said in his talk last week. This parable inspires me to lean into hope, faith, and trust in my daily life. It challenges me not to measure success in the way that we tend to in our culture, expecting instant results in direct proportion to our efforts. When I chose to accept Jesus as my saviour 25 odd years ago, I know I look about 15, he has been working in me ever since. He has been growing his kingdom, the kingdom of God, through me, even if I can't see it at times. It will be the same for you if you've decided to follow Jesus. It can't not be. There are two other places in the Gospels where Jesus talks about a mustard seed, Matthew 17 and Luke 17. Jesus tells his disciples in these passages that they only need faith as small as a mustard seed, like a millimeter mustard seed, to do great things. If you feel like your hope, faith, or trust is as small as a mustard seed this morning, then Jesus has good news for you. Jesus says you can do great things with it. As I come into land, here's a little recap. In this parable, Jesus paints a beautiful picture of how the kingdom of God grows. The kingdom of God starts small in our lives, but as we keep following him and keep putting our hope, faith, and trust in him, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, the kingdom will grow in our lives and impact those around us and change the world. My prayer for you is that as you put your hope, faith, and trust in God, he will do amazing things in your life. My prayer is that he will transform the little we all bring and will keep working in us and through us day by day. Andrew, my lovely husband, would you join me? As I was preparing this talk, I sensed the Lord's heart for a few different groups of people. I felt there were people who want to choose to become part of God's kingdom and decide to follow Jesus today. I felt that some people might be feeling frustrated with the growth they perceive is or isn't happening in their own life. And I also thought there might be people who are doubting whether they're making any difference for the kingdom of God. Those were the sort of groups that I had in mind.
So what I just want to invite you each individually just to engage with God now, and just to adopt a receptive posture in your spirit. And let's just be expectant that God wants to meet with each of us individually now, to speak very personally to us in our circumstances. So Holy Spirit, will you come now and speak into our lives? Will you bring to life for us each these truths that Jesus has given us about how your kingdom works? Is perhaps repeating a bit some of what Sally shared, but I just sense there's some of us here who've just got a sense of heaviness and loss of hope, maybe that's accumulated over many years. It might be through difficult circumstances that have been drawn out. But you just can't see what God is doing in your life. Maybe you just see that dry ground and nothing breaking through yet from below the surface. Or maybe I suspect there's some for whom we've just been faithfully serving and being obedient to what we believe God is calling us to, but have just perhaps lost the expectation of that vital daily connection with Jesus. And so Lord, I just want to pray for those who might relate to that you would remake that vital connection. Between our acts of service and obedience and the work of our lives in following you and that beautiful thing that is growing, will you stir up hope? Lord, would you just breathe through our spirits and minds and just make that very, very real to us now.
If you're watching online, we're going to say goodbye to you now. It's been great to have you with us. Take good care. Bye-bye.